Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Everywhere we go, people want to know who we are and where we come from. So who are you and where did you come from?
My name is Conor Ryan. I come from the north side of Dublin, Coolock.
Clunshock.
Clunshock, the posh side of Coolock, yeah.
Come here. Right, can I just tell you, like, when I was growing up in Mofew, Clunshock was posh, right?
I was never allowed to go to Mofew because I grew up in Clunshock.
I hear it. Like, yeah. I absolutely get that. But now, I don't know whether you're still so posh, are you?
No, well, we're going for the 30 Towns Award, so there's something going on there. There's something going on there. I think it's kind of fizzled out a little bit because I think growing up around the area, there must have been an awful lot of trouble.
Yeah.
We don't really speak about it in the house. Even putting one of the coffee trailers outside of the Buddy Cup, they're like, outside the prize or chops, they're like, Jesus Christ, what are you doing here? So that kind of little fizzled out, even in the home, like me being around there so much. So not so bad anymore. Yeah. Not so bad.
What was it like growing up for you?
Growing up for me, so I'm an only child, so it was fine growing up, I suppose. I think I was a little bit of a bollocks, to be honest with you, when I was growing up. There's been plenty of times where I've been brought to certain places to try calm me down. So many fights in every home, I suppose, but definitely in our house there was some sort of difficulty, and it was all based around me.
What kind of fights? What would you get yourself into trouble with?
Just tantrums. I think I was just a bit of a spoiled child. Now people are going to think I'm still spoiled now. I think I spoil them now. Right. Hopefully they're listening to this. I'm watching this now and know that I do spoil them. Although my housekeeping was due yesterday and I didn't pay on the first of the month, which...
Is that still a thing?
Oh, it goes up and up and up. If I come home with a bag from anywhere, Brown Thomas, even buying Marks and Spencer's cookies, you wouldn't buy me something. You wouldn't. The housekeeping's going up in here. The housekeeping's going up. Like, they still pay me toll at home as well.
Right.
So that's...
Yeah, right.
There's always trouble about that. There's always trouble about money about in my house at the moment. I can't even speak on this. I'm speaking to myself every single day, looking at you, having me shaking, rattled.
It's the coffee. Relax. Yeah,
it is the coffee. Yeah. But growing up wise, at home, fights. Yeah, fights over the small stuff. It kind of still happens, but I think they're just a little bit lighter now. I think that when I was growing up, there was just like, oh, he's not well in the head, like. But I'm grand. I'm all right, like.
I hope so.
So do I. So do they. People keep telling me that I have ADHD. Now, I've never done a proper test to find out if I do have ADHD or anything like it. So I might get that done one day to find out the true result.
Were you lonely?
I can't really remember, but I used to always say that I was lonely. My mum and dad used to foster as well at home. So foster different kids from different places. This guy, Luke, that they had a few times. So I always wanted someone to be there with me. But then when he came in, I wanted him gone. I was like, he's not playing my PlayStation. He's not touching that. It's mine. I want to watch this. He wants to watch that. So more lonely now, I think.
Hang on a second. Something's not happening, dear. It's home music. Is that going crazy? That's what it is.
No,
sorry, our music upstairs. I can hear it. And she's screaming now. Joy's having kids in the house. So that's right. So let me talk about that a bit for a second. So they fostered kids. At what age were you when they started fostering kids?
I was definitely still in primary school. So I would have said either third or fourth class maybe. So I might have been about 10, I'd say, guessing. And the kid then, Luke or whoever, they were getting one about seven, yeah. But they kind of got really close to this one lad. He only lived down the road in the one beside Fox Hill. Greenwood.
Yeah.
Greenwood, sorry, down there. So we kind of got connected with the family there. But there's obviously something gone wrong in that family down there. And they started to foster. And really liked it. I'm not too sure whether they wanted to have another kid or anything. I've never really had that conversation with them or anything, but they just said one of me is enough, and that's all they keep saying to me. And if they had another one, then they'd have to get rid of me. So I'm happy out where I am at the moment.
And when did they stop doing that?
I don't know why or when, because there was probably an option up there to kind of take them full time. But I'd say the reason they did stop, if there was a reason, was definitely because of me.
Do you think so?
Yeah, throwing the toys out of the pram. It would have to be. There'd be no other reason why not.
Mm. Yeah, well, you can imagine that you've been there on your own for so long. So it's like a child. So my, like, 11-year-old, she just doesn't have time for her sister. And there's 4 years between them.
Yeah.
And so she was the first child, grandchild. She was Air Force child. So she was spoiled completely. So when Aria came along, it was a huge difficulty for Amelia. So I can only imagine for you as a child, being an only child, and then all these other children coming in and out of your life.
Yeah, well, I know what's going on, yeah. And then bringing them everywhere, and then some days I wouldn't be there and Luke would get McDonald's and I'd be like, oh, I'm alone in a second here now. Like, but now, like what you just said about your kids, it changes so much, I'd say, because now that I'm older, I would have loved to have someone kind of just like a couple of years younger than me or a couple of years older than me to kind of bounce off and always have someone to go to in the house or to cry to or moan to in the house, because when we do have an argument at home, I'm just going to my room and I'm just sitting there. Just sit there and I deal with all my problems myself. I still do every single day. I always have, just like, I always just swallow my pride and just sit there and sort myself out. Like, I'd never speak to anyone, which is wrong. Yeah.
I would never go down and say, like, what in the house? So you said, like, money, but what else would you argue about in the house?
There's a huge one. Not putting the lid on the toothpaste. I'm on my last straw there.
Really?
Now. Yeah, I actually bought one the other day. You know the things that you can press the button on it and it's actually squeezes it up?
Right.
I bought that. It's somewhere in the boot of the car. Darren will say the boot of the car, you could actually live off the clothes of the boot of the car, I'd say, for a good month. But I have to dig that out because I've noticed myself now, the toothpaste, the lid would be there and I'd go back then. I'd be like, here, it's not worth it. I'll just put that back on it. Put the toilet seat down.
Do you ever feel like getting your own house?
I'm saving very hard. Very hard. But I went for a mortgage I done all my finances and stuff in January, and I came back and it was something like 240 grand or something, and I was like that's good, but it's nowhere near what I want. I could probably go for an apartment, but I don't want an apartment. So he said to me to wait another 6 months for especially the buddy club side of things to kind of build up a little bit more. You have more savings set up with direct debit. So at the moment I'm saving, I think, 2 grand every 4 weeks.
Jesus.
Into a savings account. What I do on a day-to-day, I don't really spend much money. You know, it's probably spend about 20 euros. So everything I do, I'd have it there. And you could take it out, but what they wanted to see was that I can save. And it's different for me because I'm a sole trader, that there's so many other things they look for, you know.
Is that why do you think all the influencers now, and I say influencers because that's what you are going into businesses, because as an influencer, you're not seen, like, as, you know, a profitable person with the banks for a mortgage?
Yeah, definitely. I think now, like, since I'm blessed that I do have the coffee business now going, and I've another few things in the pipeline that I'm going to get going, but there are more businesses. So I'm kind of bounced that back off myself. I actually got stung to bits last year. I was down as a sole trader, so I paid a heap load of tax. So I'm now a business myself, which I should have been from the start. I don't understand why I wasn't. So my business is now just about marketing. So all the marketing that I would do all runs through that account. I have a personal account for the wages from the Buddy Cup. I pay myself a small wage from that. And then obviously the finances that are in the Buddy Cup to kind of say, look, he has this excess coming in here whenever he does need it. But they do make it very difficult. And especially I was with another influencer. So the two of us together would kind of come together. If we were going for a mortgage together, it would show better finances. But on my own, it's very difficult. Very difficult. And I could probably have more income than then a normal person that would have a house, but it's just the way they look at it is totally different. It's annoying.
That. Yeah, I know. Thanks. Again, tell me this. Who are you closer to, your mum or your dad?
My mum, definitely. See, I'd spend more time with my dad and do more things with my dad. I'd get pictures with my dad. Mum would never get a picture with me, but definitely my mum. I'd fight with my dad more though. Fight with my dad all the time. But it's just small stuff. Like, I'd be on the bed, lying on bed, and he'd knock on that door and I'd know something's not right here. He's not going to say anything. He'd be like, clean up after yourself. Like, will you put the towel there? The towel's not, how's the towel going to dry itself on the banisters? It's soaking wet. You have to put it on the, like, on the rad. And there's just small stuff, but it's the stuff that pisses me off the most. And we go a few days then without speaking, and then it'd be grand then. You know, they'll be like, will you do that bet for us? And he'd be like, yeah, grand. And then, I'm back in there now. Happy days.
And you said there that you process everything by yourself. Do your parents, is that how they deal with stuff? Is that where you get that from?
No, absolutely not. They are always asking me to go and speak to someone. And I went to speak to someone only a few weeks back, actually, for an hour. I keep saying can you cut out all the M's?
No, I'm not going to edit you because it's you. So that's how you talk. Yeah, so I'm not going to edit you.
I went to speak to someone only last week down at Clontarf on the seafront, and I didn't really like it. So I said I wasn't going to go again. So she asked me, would I like to book in again? I said, no, I'm after. I lied. I was like, no, I'm after getting enough out of this. But I definitely didn't. I think they were just, the way she was talking to me was real. I thought my life was upside down, and I was like, it's not this bad, it's not this bad, I can kind of deal with it myself. But they've been begging me to speak to someone for a long time with my anger. Like, I'd shown off that anger again at home, and then you'd see it in a different person out of the house, you know. I'd snap at them, and then my dad would always say to me, oh, you'd never say that to the owner of the Chopped, you'd never say that to him. If someone told you to put the lid on there, you wouldn't do it again. So it's just obviously being in the home, like being so close to each other all the time, it's a lot of like tension and just ready to erupt sometimes. But I especially dealing with problems, now I'd sit in my room, now whether I'd sit in the car, I'd got a long way home sometimes just to listen to a song on my own, and I just feel like myself getting back to normal.
Do you know, there's a saying that it's like, this is a work thing, and I'd say it, and it registered with me. It was like that you're in, so you're driving along, right, and you're with your husband or your partner or whatever, or your mum and dad, right, and they're like, Connor, that was a red light. It was a red light. And you're like, I know it was a fucking red light. I seen it was a red light. So, but a colleague comes up to you and says to you, Connor, you're at to make a mistake there. And you're like, God, Jesus, thanks, Emil. Thanks for helping me.
Oh, that's me all over. That's
so it. Why do we do that? So that's what you, like, that has to register in your head. You go,
it's the people you love the most and you take the head off the most. Yeah. It's mad. It's just the way it is, you know. But he's dead right. He's dead right. But he's the same with me. He asked me to do, like, he's kind of killed me years after hearing all this now, taking the head off my dad. He said it to me, he's doing work in the house at the moment, so he'd asked me to move the chair last night, and he was like, lift the chair now, the chair won't go there because there's no floor on the ground. So I was like, lift it, don't pull it. So I lifted it, put it down, and he's like, move it back a little bit. I pushed it. He's like, that was the fucking lift the thing. Lift the thing, like, you never listen. I was like, oh, here, I'm about to help you. And then he always says, we never ask for help. I never ask to help. When I do ask the help, he doesn't want help. When I do give him help, my God, yeah, useless. Calls me a pond, calls me outing, not built for this stuff like I was. My hands, look at my hands. It's like, come here, should have had a girl then or something then, if I'm not enough, like.
No, but you are enough. You know that you are enough. And that's the thing, like, it's just that their generation, like your mum and dad, I used to say in the late 50s, 60s, they were the hardest workers. So seeing, and you are, I know you're going, hang on, I'm a hard worker, yeah, and I get it.
But
in a different way.
Yeah.
You don't, like, you know, your dad was probably a grafter, like, and you're a grafter, but you're a grafter in a different way. But they can't correlate that. Is that the word, correlate that? They can't. So that's where he's like, what's he fucking doing on that phone?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the phone situation has been a nightmare from day one. I got my first phone when I was in fourth or fifth class. How old would it have been in fourth or fifth class? How old are the girls?
Amelia's in fifth, she's 11.
11, so I must have got my phone. She have a phone?
No. Well, no. She got a phone last week because she was in the Gael talk.
I must have got a phone, I'd say, in fifth or sixth class. Now, this is a bit of a mad old story.
Right.
So I got the phone, and it was a flip-up Vodafone. So everyone had them in school, so I finally got my way to get it. Got the phone in school, went into sixth year, still had the phone, addicted to the phone from the get-go. Like, talk about it now, I'd spend 10 hours on the phone a day. I was addicted from the get-go.
On what? Doing what? What was that?
On this phone, when I had the flip-up phone, it was nearly just like, it wasn't even social media, I don't think. I might have had Bebo or something on it, but it was more so sending songs and ringtones and probably definitely texting a few girls.
Right.
As you would, you know yourself, you'd have them free text to all networks. They'd be going everywhere. But then I went into sixth class and it went downhill big time.
Right.
Then the lads start being lads and start sending field around on the phone. So I got caught. I got caught in school sending it to someone else.
Right.
And I ended up getting suspended in school for having filled my phone in sixth class. That was the end of the phone then until... Now, it could have been even before this. That's actually mad. You're saying this. You know, fifth class, I've seen how young. I was like, what was I? Yeah. I was a filthy bastard at that age.
But, you know, that's bias.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now, again, on her age, it'd be probably taken a lot more serious. But you and Adena, I don't think would. Was your mom and dad devastated with you?
When that happened,
yeah.
My God, yeah, I was suspended from school. So I spent it for 4 days. Phone was gone, obviously. Phone was gone. I was battered. I wasn't physically battered. My God, taking the head off me. I was up then. I spent it for, I think, 3 days. I had, like, basically itinerary each day of, in the morning, we're doing maths from this hour to this hour. And then have, like,
and who's that? Your mom or dad?
Both of them. Right. Oh, they were terrifying. It's like watching something like Judge Judy or something like that. I was in the house. I was like, right, yeah, Grant. I'd have to walk down my bag and my back. I'd have my luncheon already. I was like, sit down there and don't you move your arse. So I was doing maths, then I was doing this, then I was doing that. And I was like, geez, how does my dad know all this Irish sitting beside me?
Yeah.
And I was like, imagine if my dad was my school teacher. I would, honestly, God, I'd run away.
So he took the phone off you?
Took the phone off me. Then finally, after a while, this is kind of around, like, we are kind of going to, like, see someone and speak about things and blah, blah, blah. But then it kind of fell back into, I got the phone back, obviously, when I went back into secondary school view up. I think this was, I'm not too sure what class I was in, but then I got it back. It was an iPhone then. Yeah, definitely an iPhone. And I just grew trust back in them and then took it from there. But the phone has always been a bit of a situation in the house where I'm betting to the phone. Even when I was away with my dad last week in Liverpool, it was like he was texting to the family chat. He was like, yeah, it's good to be away with Connor, me and his phone. Be betting to the phone, putting up things up left, right and centre. But it was more related to work more than anything else. And then he was like, oh, okay, now I have to walk off. So I'd walk off and the phone would come back then and he'd be talking to all his new friends he's making everywhere around the corner, on the bar, everywhere. Mm.
So that's what he doesn't get.
Yeah.
So you have to be a little bit patient with him with that, do you know what I mean? Because that's what he doesn't get. And even though you're like, Dad, I'm making money, I'm making things happen for me, for my future. He just doesn't understand it in that way.
Trying to. Even just, well, he's doing work with me next week with in Talla. Talla, what's it called? It's a square in Talla for Father's Day.
Right.
So he's doing work out there, he's asking how much he's getting. So I have to give him a percentage of that. And I was like, hold on a second here. Now, one way you don't want to be on the phone, making money, and then you want to cut the money.
Mm.
So that's it. Oh, it's
have you ever sat down and explained to him what you do? Like explain social media and all that.
You know, sure, he's been around me so many times where I'm recording my food and recording this, or he's probably watched YouTube videos, and he has people like talking to him and saying, "Senior, someone's here. Senior, someone's there." Enjoyed the match he was getting while he was away because I was putting stuff up. So there's people watching him and filling him in what I'm doing and saying, "Oh, he's doing great here, doing that." And he'd probably have his mixed ways. Yeah, he's doing great, but this he won't put the lid in the tubers.
Is he proud of you?
I'd say so.
Does he tell you he's proud of you?
Not enough.
Right.
Not enough, no. Even my mum as well. I bought my mum a car last year. I had to keep reminding her that I bought the car.
Do you?
Yeah.
But why do you keep reminding her?
Because she just never thinks that. She's always saying, he never got me this. Even bring my dad away to the match. He's going to bring me away. I bought you a car last year. Do you want to try back in that car and they'll send you on a few trips a year? So, but they don't tell me they're proud of me enough. So if you're watching this, mum and dad, make sure you say proud of me when I go home. All right?
But they are.
Yeah.
Obviously, dear. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Talk to me about when things start changing for you in your life in social media, and when was your moment that you think, this is me?
I was always betting to the phone. I grew a little bit of a following. I moved away with herself to Toronto. But I think before we went away, when we got there, she was mad into makeup and stuff. So we started recording YouTube videos over there. Grew a bit of a following, so I think I went by 10,000 followers. This is about 4 years ago, and really just took off from there, kind of do day-to-day vlogs of what we're doing over there. Ellie was already recording with doing the makeup of whatever she does, so we kind of just grew a bit of like a kind of a talent that like editing, not me editing. Ellie used to do all the editing, but I'd be able to do it now myself. But just started from there. Then Ellie came home a few times, this and that, and then she got a makeup deal, so she came home. Then when I came home, before I retract from that, while I was over there, I was basically talking on my phone every day of what I'm doing. I was working at Abercrombie. But then there was a page over there called Toronto's Finest.
Right.
So we'd have ourselves a little treat on a Saturday or Sunday. We were skint over there, skint alive. We had an ascent. But on a Sunday, we'd go somewhere on this page. This page is kind of like, this is where I got the idea from, the food page that I do have. Yeah. So we'd say, look at that cookie. Let's get the Subway to here, miles off, and get something nice. So when she came home finally, I said, no, I'm going to wait it out, because we waited so long through that snow from October, when the weather changes, till about February or so. I was like, I'm waiting until I see a bit of sunshine here. Mm-hmm. Although it was rotten. We came home then and I said, right, I'm going to set up this food page at home. There's nothing like this at home at all. They had Love in Dublin or something like that. Yeah. But I wasn't really specialising in food. So I set that up. From there, that took off massively. I'm really addicted to food, phone, talking to myself. So that just took off massively. But from there, just being so, so addictive, I got myself a normal job back. I got my background. I was working in AIB. Then I got offered a job in one agency recruitment. So one agency recruitment wanted me to do a marketing role. I was like, this is class. I have no degree in anything. And the job like title was basically, they want me to promote the jobs in the way that I'd be promoting something else on my phone. So I'd go to, say, Super Value, and they want someone in the freezer aisle. I'd walk up and down the freezer aisle, show what they're going to be doing, and show how fun it is to work here, blah, blah, blah. So that was me all over. I was like driving around the car, listening to my own music, promoting jobs. So that grew and grew and grew and grew and grew. Then that kind of came to an end. And by the time this happened, I just had grown a massive following online. So it's just been purely addicted and just motivated to keep going and going and going. There's not a day goes by that all of my pages that I do have now aren't overly active, to just keep growing as one whole. So when I got let go then from the one agency recruitment place after, I think, nearly the guts of a year, I'd say, this is only the start of COVID. Went on the COVID payment for a few weeks, which actually has me snookered now, which is well going for a mortgage, because that's like, it's just like this little black dot, tiny black dot. Yeah. It's like, you went on that for 2 weeks. And I was like, but the weeks I was on it, I was this is class, I'm loaded. 350 a week it was. I can't spend it on anything. So this, while the food page is building in the background, while that happened, I was doing TikTok in the background then as well. And it all just came together then and evolved of the Buddy Cup then. So I had my own business. I was doing I was eating food. I was doing this. And I just kind of got too much overpowered by I was actually kind of blessed that I got let go.
Yeah.
To kind of free up my time to make me sit down and say, right, what the fuck do I want to do here? I can only sit on my half so much with these 350s building up, or else I can go and spend it. So I had a good bit of savings there. Bought the coffee trailer, moved that around, and then just all just evolved into being on my phone. If that makes sense.
It does. It does completely. How old is the Buddy Cup now?
The Buddy Cup is only about a year. Darren, how old is the Buddy Cup? 15, 16 months, yeah.
So that was during COVID?
That was March of COVID. I think the COVID started just before that Christmas as well. So and a bit of time to kind of sit around and think. I still have the piece of paper where I drew a little circle. It said coffee trailer, arrows coming out, names, shite names. My nickname, my mum always called me when I was playing football, was Buddy. So I came with the Buddy Cup, wrote that on that, name sorted. Next of all, boy, the trailer.
Hang on, that's lovely.
Isn't it?
Yeah. That's lovely. Because that's the thing. So the Buddy Cup came from the fact that your mum...
My mum started it. And all my friends in school, everyone called me Buddy. People, all my best mates now still would call me, what's up, Buddy?
Really?
No. Yeah, it's mad.
Yeah, so you didn't know that.
And then the logo, I have a graphic designer, and I always draw everything you see promotion-wise on the Buddy Cup page. I draw that on a piece of paper, as shit of a drawer I am, send it to him, he'd send it back as a graphic.
Yeah.
So he came up with the stick man. I went from there. Mad.
Tell me about Toronto. Why Toronto?
We always wanted to kind of mix something up, like, and just go away. I really wanted to go to Australia because I love the sun, but too far. Ellie's a homegirl, so she always wanted to kind of be close to her family, to come home, this and that, and I'd go away. I was already before this, I'd go away to my aunties and uncles in Boston, Michigan is in Boston. Mm. I'd go away there for 3 weeks. Not a bother. I'd say for six, like a phone call, my mum, I think it must be a boy thing.
Mm.
Just a few minutes on the phone, yeah, I have to go, I'm going back here and go to play football. But the reason why we went to Toronto was just because it was closer and just to experience something. I had family there as well, so we stayed with my auntie over there for the first, it must have been a few months nearly that we stayed there. Because it was so expensive, so hard to find somewhere to live. Then we found somewhere to live. Oh, yeah. We both had jobs. So Ellie went back into the kind of, she was working in England here. She worked in England over there. I couldn't find a job for the life of me. I was like, I wanted to do something fun. I didn't want to work in a desk job.
Mm-hmm.
So I walked into Abercrombie Kids, asked for a job. I got a job there. They asked me, do I have a degree? I should have said yeah.
Yeah.
I should have said yeah. I said no. They were like, oh, lovely. You just be like basically a normal person on the floor. If I had said that, I would have been a manager there. I would have been on double the money. But we lived off pittance over there. Absolutely nothing. Yeah. Yeah. Like, we'd have there was a place over there. It's like Star Pizza in town. Have you ever had that?
No.
It's like the door to the door cheap. Right. Pizza. Like, the pizza was like $3 or something like that. We'd have that probably 3 or 4 times a week. Skint.
And so the two of you must have really bonded over there, did you?
Yeah, we did. Yeah. The place, the apartment that we did find then, it cost a fortune, but it was gorgeous. I know exactly where it is and I'm picturing my head. Every time I'd love to go back there. We've always said when we were talking that we'd love to go back there and experience it all again, just as a holiday.
Mm.
But when the weather changed, it was tough. It was tough to adapt to it. It was great for the first few weeks, as you would. Like, oh, it's going to be a white Christmas. Then it turns to grey and slush. I'm walking around a pair of Converse and everyone else is walking around the big knee-high boots. I was like, I need to get a pair of them. Didn't have the money to.
Really? Didn't so have, it was that bad over there?
Really was. And that's no exaggerating. We were skint. This wasn't a time where I was getting paid for ads or anything like that. Nothing like it at all. This is genuinely just living week to week. My savings were gone. Because when I went over there in the summer, I was like going out the lash and going eating all these fun, like nice places. And then I kind of came to myself. I was like, bollocks. I need to sort myself out here.
Did you ever ring home for money?
No.
Never?
Didn't. No, not my birthday. On Christmas, I got money.
Mm.
You know, I think it's 500 quid or something like that I get. Like, but that would put towards the mortgage. The freaking rent.
Mm.
But that would be it, you know. But it was an experience of a lifetime. Like, doing your own washing. Doing your own washing is something now. It's something that I haven't experienced since, and I don't think I want to experience it again.
Oh, world experience is doing your own washing.
Doing your own washing, but it was great. Better play the PlayStation at 3 a.m. No one say anything to you. She'd be in bed, walk in, then just get into bed. They'd pick it up in the saddle whenever you want. Like, it was great. It was.
Stop. Did you have friends over there?
I had plenty of friends. Yeah, I actually believe it or not, we were only out yesterday in Castleknock. He was a barber over there. That's how I found him over there. I bumped into him yesterday, walked into a barber's to get hair products, and he was looking at me. Josh, his name is. He was staring back at me.
No way.
I was like, no way. Friend for life.
Such a small world, then, isn't it?
It is. Yeah.
So, can we talk about relationships? Okay, and we're going to be really like careful here, like, because obviously, are you together
at the moment?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Okay. Yep. And she's been the only girl in your life, really.
No, I've had a few exes now. I've had a few exes. I wouldn't say the only girl in my life now. That'll get me in trouble.
No, I know. But she's the only one that people talk about. I think, is it that the two of you together?
Yeah, we're together 6-7 years, so it's a big part of your life, you know.
Where'd you meet?
Facebook, and then over to Snapchat. So I added her on Snapchat while she had a boyfriend to try get her the client. So I was keeping an eye on her on Facebook. And next of all, I added her next time, got the accept. You get like a little Snapchat back saying, Ali Kelly has accepted you on Snapchat. So we kind of took her from there. I got in there. And it was mad about her from the get-go. Mad about her from day one. Like, fell in love straight away the first day I met her in town. Although I was shit myself. You know where Size is in town? Like, I always remember walking that road. She's walking towards it. And I'm like, oh my fucking God, what is going on here? And then I met her, but it was that good, and I was that nervous and that excited then to have seen her. I was like, oh, I have to go. Like, so she went back up to lifestyle, and then I texted straight away. So I should have asked you for, I think I said something like, oh, I should have asked you for a kiss or something like that. And I was like, oh, it's next time. So next time we lined up a date, and that was that, you know.
What went wrong?
Yeah. Oh, where do we start? It's all me, I suppose. All me. Too many silly mistakes along the way, too much messing, too much my head not in the game, really, and stepping on my own toes. And it's always the same. As soon as you do something, you say, oh, fuck's sake, why did I do that? So I just have to learn from that. To this day, the last time we broke up was only a few weeks back. I'm fucking in the height of it since then. I'm gutted, like, gutted with myself, gutted with everything that I've done. And fortunately, it was the last straw, so there's no going back from there. I don't think. I've been trying my best, emailing her, sending her letters. I flew to New York last week. When she was over there, I basically flew to New York for 2 days to have dinner with her, to come back. It's just not good. It's not a good time in the life at the moment. And it's my own worst enemy, because I feel like everything just be going great, and we were going great since we got back together only like probably nearly 2 months ago. And then, boom, I made the same fucking mistake again, and I'm back at square one. And everyone obviously around her was saying, stay away from him. He's not the one. But I deep down believe that we are still meant to be somehow. I just need to fucking cop on, and I'm trying my best to cop on and try to just have the blinkers on. Not even have the blinkers on, but just stop making stupid mistakes. Like, you don't like I'm about to get a tattoo over on my arm. I got a tattoo, a letter E, and a gummy bear, because I call it a gummy bear, and it's just, yeah, it's madness. I'm sending her euros on Revolut and all with notes and stuff. Will you please unblock me? Poxy. Now we're after requesting all the euros back there now. Bollocks, she's not keeping them.
But you know when you keep, like, at some point, and people do, like, so people around you, see, sometimes you have to stop listening to people around you, because people around you will be like, it's not for you, it's not for you, she's not for you, she's not for you. And sometimes you just have to just listen. And if sometimes you can keep giving someone chances.
Of course.
And then you have to go.
I know.
For my own sanity, I have to just stop this, or I have to stop listening to everyone fucking else and go, let's do this. And then obviously, but you never know, things could be.
Hopefully to sort things out. I do want to hopefully give it a go again. Not saying tomorrow, not saying next year, but down the line, just to kind of prove to myself that I can be a better person and be who I want to be and who she wanted me to be when she met me. So I don't want to, there's been 6 or 7 mistakes throughout the whole relationship, and they're the ones that are caught up in at the moment, and there's not thinking of any other good times. All the other memories, they're all brushed aside. It's just like, you can't keep doing this, and it's just mad to how much weight the mistakes make compared to the good times at the moment. It's just overpowering. But again, I'm my own worst enemy, and there's no, like, she knows that, everyone around me knows that, all of her friends know that, her family knows that, there's not a bad bone in her body, and it's just, it's all my fucking fault.
So you know it's your fault.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but are you putting these things in place that you'll never, ever make those mistakes? And was the counselling that you went to, was that one of the things that you put in place to make sure you weren't going to make those mistakes?
Yeah, 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 definitely. That was kind of me trying to show an action that I want to change.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Change myself, but the counselling's not for me. Not for me, definitely.
No, hang on. And someone said this, that counsellor was not for you.
Counsellor, yeah.
Yeah, that counsellor was not for you.
Yeah.
So you, like, well, I'll be honest, me and Paul, years ago, he's going to fucking kill me. Me and him went to counselling years ago, we were living out in Betty's Town. And I can hear him now. I just didn't like the counsellor. Mm-hmm. I felt in the moment, it was all, she was blaming me on everything, and Paul was like, but she was like a Catholic woman, and in her life was that the woman should do everything what the man said, I felt. So I never went back, but we probably should have stayed for a little bit longer. We could have done a few more sessions with somebody else.
Yeah.
So in order, if you know you have to fix yourself, and if you know your self-processing in your head hasn't worked, Connor, because if you really want to be happy and you really want her, right? You're probably going, shut the fuck up, Rebecca. But that didn't work. So find someone else.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying that. I don't want her right now. Like, you know, I just have to get myself over that, and I will.
Find another counsellor.
Oh.
Not find someone else. I'm not telling you to find someone else. Because if that's the girl you want, that's the girl you want.
I'm going to ask her for our phone number, this person you're talking to me about.
No, I'd be moving on to a different fucking counsellor then. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, Alex, I'm about to say that now. I'm going to look like a dick.
No, but like, that's, I don't know what you mean. But that's where you want to be. Like, and the thing is, like, you have, like, do you look, because there is all these trolling online and all that, and the trolling online would be quite polarised to you and Ellie.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. So tell me a little bit about the trolling online and all that.
Trolling online, there's a, like, again, it just comes from all different angles. Instagram is not that bad for it, I don't think, anymore. You get the odd slight comment, but it just takes 2 seconds to block it and just push it away. It really doesn't get to me. What gets to me is there's a website called Tattle Life, if you heard that website, where people would have like a full on, like, it was like a banner, like Connor and Ellie, and then it's just like bam, 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 bam. These are all just like cartoon pictures, and it's some makeup name, like Muhammad Ali or something, for example, and this person would tear you a new arsehole, and you're like, who the fuck are you? And they give out and give out and give out and give out about everything, every move I make, and they still follow me. Have you seen what he put up here? Still put up here. But what wrecks me head about the trolling thing, and it doesn't upset me or anything, it wrecks my head when people send me a screenshot of it.
Yeah.
And please God, not people send me screenshots, but they send me a screenshot of a good thing. So you look at the screenshot, you say to yourself, why are you not meant to be doing this? Like, there was only last week, someone sent me, my dress was up on it. My dress, and then they found out that the secretary of one of my businesses is my mom, like, and they put my mom's name on it and thing. And I was like, you can't, there has to be some sort of borderline in some sort of social media where you're not allowed to do that.
Yeah.
Now, nothing has happened. 99%, like 99 out of 100 times, like, nothing will happen. But it's just still the fact that, like, how did someone in the right mind think that was real? And this one was definitely an L one. Oh, they're all L ones on it.
Do you think they're all L ones on it?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. But there's just no way of, like, this. I've said this a number of times. I think, especially with social media, you should have to upload your passport to create some any account and every account.
Mm-hmm.
Even for TikToks, for kids, like, it would make the world a better place for everyone, like, for everyone that's on it. Obviously, but the kid wants a phone, it's going to be an iPhone, they're going to have social media. If you have the whole thing set up, whereas you can track everything from all angles when you need to, like, not saying, I'm going to come in here and I'm going to see your passport number, but if you need to go to guards with a case or something like that, or something really serious, you can find out who exactly is behind that account.
I wonder why people send it to you. Like, I wonder why people do that. Like, I always say, don't fucking show me. Don't tell me. Like, don't tell me. Like, I'm a friend of mine, and I said to her, like, why did you tell me that? I said, I don't. If someone said to me, Jesus, I seen such and such down the road, and she looks bleeding terrible, I'd never tell you that.
No.
I'd never. So, what's the reasoning behind someone sending you that shit?
Just to get involved or something. I don't know. Don't know. But again, that's the reason what I was saying about the trolling thing. I'd delete the comments straight away. But once you kind of see some people, like a group of people kind of talking about it and having a say, like I've then gone onto that website. Like,
did you?
Yeah, yeah. And then you find yourself lying in the bed without the telly on, you're betting into reading comments about yourself.
What does it do to you? Honestly, no, Connor, what does it do to you?
It turns me sad, like, but not, it just sad. It just changes the mood more than anything else, you know? You could be having the best day of your life and then you see something like that and on it, you may as well stick on Adele in the car and just go and write the car off. Mm. You know? But it doesn't knock me. Like, I'll be back in a few minutes. Like, it's just...
Hang on, that's something very serious, what you've just said there.
Yeah.
Like, write the car off.
Yeah. But I always say that, though. Take the piss as well, though.
Yeah, but that's like... But is that on the back of what you're just saying? So no. Does it really affect you?
No. Not really, no. 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 Like, again, it's more upsetting when we were together and seeing stuff said about us and then seeing her way of reacting then, like her way of being upset, like, and she would get upset and she's never said she doesn't get upset. That would upset me then.
Of course.
But reading people about me, I'm obviously at this age, I think if I was finding this stuff out about when I was only 17 and 18 that people were having a conversation about me, I think I'd be a totally different man, a totally different person, more just hormonal. But now I really brush it aside and I just couldn't care less. But it pisses me off sometimes why people, like, I'll be more annoyed that people do, like, why are people saying it? You know, question why, you're like, do you know me? Mm. And then I hide behind the fake accounts and then you just have to say, oh, fuck this, go to bed, new day, next day.
Because that's what people say, that, you know, sometimes whoever's doing that is someone close to you. And a lot of people who have been on Tattle, or the girls that I've spoken to, and I spoke down to one of the girls down in Cork, and she was saying stuff about herself, and it actually, she actually found out that something she was saying to one person individually
was getting out. So it's like that Jamie Vardy thing, wasn't
it? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, yeah.
You can narrow them down to certain people, but I'd rather not know. I'd rather just leave them to it. Like, if they have that much time and energy and they're putting it into talking about me, like, I'm not going to put the energy into trying to save my case here now. I'm going to put it somewhere else.
How big is your circle?
I'd have, like, different size circles. So I'd have different type of categories. Like, I'd have a few people that I'd really go to, then it would kind of fizzle out to a little people, but small enough, definitely small.
To trust them?
I trust the inner circle, then it just fizzles out. Really just goes out. And then there's people that you couldn't trust to say anything. Sometimes we have a few group chats and I'd be kind of typing something out and I was like, nah, don't know where that's going to go. So
that's sad though.
Oh, it is sad, but this is the day and age that we live in, you know. People would put that somewhere to get a few likes or get a few this or get a reaction off somewhere else. And then it kind of just goes like a domino effect of people saying, look what they said. And then next of all, it could be in the paper, like, and you're like, bollocks, why do you say that? And then your career's gone. So you have to be careful. You have to be always thinking ahead.
And have you ever seen anything that has happened and thought, how the fuck did that get out?
Yeah, like, stuff in the relationship, definitely. The relationship, one of the main reasons, I think, since, like, we've kind of gone downhill, I've had so many ups and downs, is definitely the impact of social media on it. Like, we can't deal with a problem ourselves. Like, even the fact that we, like, I haven't said anything to anyone, and Ellie's kind of touched on it a little bit, but people before Ellie has said anything would know that we don't follow each other. Like, how do people find this stuff out? And then just spreads. Oh, Connor's done it again, this and that. Anything could have happened. Like, people just point the finger, assumes it, and I've heard this, I've heard that, and then just, it's madness. Crazy.
And you said there about your mom there, like, did you tell your mom that her name was posted up there? Like, would she be worried about that, or?
No, I don't involve my mom, sorry.
Yeah.
My mom, no, I don't involve my mom in any of that stuff as well, nor does she want to be. I've tried to separate myself altogether with it. You know, it's not like they don't want to be in the limelight. I actually haven't said that to her, so she's going to notice this now. But no, I wouldn't say that to her because she'd be up all night, like, you know, thinking of what the fuck, why does someone have her voice, their address, why does someone want to have their address, and then what are you doing wrong, who are you hanging around with, and it's just, it's not good for anyone, you know. But just sad, isn't it? Like, sad fucking weirdos out there.
Yeah, it is sad because I think people just want to corrupt, they want to just cause trouble, but it's anonymous, do you know what I mean? And they don't come out and say it. Like, if you have something to say, come out and say it. And just put it on and not use a fake page and say what you have to say.
Yeah.
But those people like that you'll find, I think, I don't know, someone, it was found out it was somebody and it was like solicitor and stuff like that. Like someone working in a solicitor's office or it was someone in the guards, like, you know what I mean, that were on these pages. So yeah, I don't go on them and I don't like them. I just know someone screenshotted something belonged to me on it because I had Top Notch on.
Yeah.
As we chatted about earlier on, and someone said, oh, you're on Tata Life. And I was like, I do know what it is. Of course I know what it is. And I was like, I don't even send it to me. No, it wasn't bad, but I was like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, just mess with your head. Like.
Don't send it to me. Do you know what I mean? And that's the one thing with Paul and I, that we've always tried to be protective because we've two kids.
Of course.
As I said to you earlier on, Amelia was on, what's wrong?
Do you want a fresh coffee?
Yes, please. Yeah. I'll be annoying when I go home. I'm going to walk
he's home. Going, he's going to be hyper here. As I said to you, like, someone said to me, Amelia's TikTok is so cute. And I was like, Amelia doesn't have TikTok. Like, do you know what I mean? And then when Paul went and looked at it, there was four grown women, strangers, following her.
Yeah, see, it's messed up, isn't it? This is what I'm saying. There should be, is there not a kids type of TikTok that you can do? Or parental guidance type TikTok? No.
There is. And you know, like, you see the setup here and you mentioned the setup here when you came in. Paul is so tech savvy. Like, so I just leave that to him.
Yeah.
But he just didn't. I don't know, Paul. Is there a TikTok thing? A parental TikTok
thing? I'm nearly sure there is.
Is there?
If there's not, there should be.
Yeah.
There should be like an under, like a, it's so hard to do.
I think there is, but you, and that's what it was. But we ended up shutting our TikTok down, and she only got a phone last week because she was in the Gael Talk. But it's a serious worry, like, do you know what I mean?
It's just the power of social media has so many pros and cons. Like I say, she was absolutely sick when you found out you seen the TikTok, and then
she was.
And I say you were just that sick then that I was like, oh, you don't want to have this conversation, like, but just for her own safety, I suppose. Isn't it?
Yeah, and when she came in there and she had a double look at you to see, she was like, I definitely, because I was like, do you know Conor Ryan? And she was like, I don't know, ma'am. And then she did definitely recognise you there. Can I ask you, other than, you know, relationship wise, and I don't want to use the word regret, but is there stuff that you've looked back and said, I wish I did that differently?
Every single mistake I've made, I wish I could go back probably to, see, I don't want to say go back to the very start because there's been times then we've kind of like, it's made us stronger. Most definitely the last time I made it stronger, but it's just the mistakes have just started the worst part, like, it definitely, like, and it's just, it's all me just being an absolute idiot, like, and again, like, I even trying to defend my case and say, like, I'll change, which I have to change for myself, like, but I should have changed ages ago, so I have to live with my own mistakes, my own regrets, and I don't know if I'd go, like, I'd want to go back and take the mistakes out, but so much is happening between the times, I don't want to go back and lose those other things, you know?
So. Have you grown from your mistakes?
This time definitely, yeah. It's by far been the hardest ever, like, to deal with, you know, and it's, I like, it's more than likely the end, so that's going to be taking an awful lot of time to kind of just rebuild myself and fix myself, and I can only imagine what she's going through, like, so, yeah, I'm going to have to learn from mistakes, and there's no question about it, I have to, there's no shying away.
And other than the relationship, you mentioned that, you know, the sole trader and then your own business. Like, who made that mistake? Was that advice you were given to do a sole trader? Like, is there stuff that you look back, oh, I wish I did that
different? Sorry, I thought you were just asking about the business. Oh, just
went
beyond that. The business side of things, yeah, because, well, I had the meeting with the accountant last year, and this is my first time doing something. It's like, mom, we have to come in and do a tax return. And I was like, lovely, I had all this money saved that I knew wasn't really mine. So I was saving it there. But I went in, the tax return last year was something like 24 grand I had to give back in one go.
I know.
One go. I was like, holy God. And they were like, can you do installments? No, it's due next week. Holy shit. Gone. Just like that. And they were like, if you had it changed over to a business, I think it's like 4% or something, like something. So I was like, why didn't you do this for me? Like, I would have got you something nice, like, to sort this out.
Yeah.
Then they sent me the forms to change over to a business. And then they sent me, look, here's the invoice for that. It's a few admin fees. Like, you're taking the piss here.
Yeah.
Now, hopefully the accountant's not watching this now. Yeah. They turned the head off me. But it's just stuff that, like, it's small things. Yeah, I probably should have done better in school. Luckily enough, I had the passion for my phone. I didn't do too well in the Leaving Cert. My mum will always say to me, I was out doing weights out the back. Well, I had my maths exam in an hour, and they asked me then when I got home, how'd you get on the, or not maths, I'm saying English exam or something I should have been studying for. How'd you get on the exam? Unreal. Got my results, D.
Shit. Okay.
Yeah, and they say it to me every time you stood here, doing curls in front of them, saying that you were going to ace everything. Came back and got done shy. Absolutely shy.
Would you ever go on and do like a, what did you do, a course, like in a business course? Would you ever go on and do something, or do you think you know it all now?
No, I've done a marketing course. Now, these are all level sevens. Marketing course, event management, and business management. Business management was a degree. I only dropped out last year.
Okay.
I just kind of got too much for me doing the Monday and the Wednesdays, and I kind of just fell out of a little bit. Like, I was putting the laptop on. This, it was great because it was all at home. I was putting the laptop on and I was going in and watching The Office. So then I came to the exam, and if it was something like statistics, I was like, oh my God, there's only so much Google can help you with. So I just said to me, look, I'll take the level seven. I can go back to it then and finish it. It's only one more year. Mm-hmm. So I'll go back to it when the time was right. I thought it was right. It's obviously right to do a level seven, but to go that extra year at the moment, the way the like, pace of my life is going at the moment, it won't be manageable.
How do you manage the pace in your life? Because listening to you now, I know you're having like 10 coffees, but like you're go, go, go. Like, when do you, or what do you do just to ground yourself?
I don't really know. Don't really know. We got Darren on to explain the week of he's had since being with me. We've just been coming home, came home from last weekend, and I said to myself, I'm going to come home, go guns blazing here now and make that money back as soon as I can. And I've made the money back that I bought the tickets for in 4 days. It's Thursday now. So I've just worked my arse off. I just have a nice old drive about myself. Really do. I like to be busy. I like to be working. I love my sleep as well, though. Don't get me wrong. That's probably my, like, not a downtime, but lights out, that's when I'd sleep. Like, I'd probably sleep if I had no alarm till easily 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the day.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I'd probably,
that's why your mum don't want to fucking kill you then. That's why they want to kill you all the time if you're doing that.
Yeah, but no, they go to work and sometimes your mum come in at one and they shout up the stairs and I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, see, I'd kill you.
Do you feed the dog? No. It's 1 o'clock. The dog's down there like skin and bone. But the work rate that I do have, I love the way I do it, and I think it shows online the passion that I do have for myself and to make myself be as successful as I can be, and there's always room to keep going. If I'm not putting in the work here, someone else is putting the work in. So I kind of want to have my fingers in all the pies and do it all at once, which can again be wrong because you're not giving 100% there, you're giving 50, or you're giving 30, 30, 20, 20, and you're not putting 100% into something. Like, you know, I've felt that, especially with the Buddy Cup the last while. I've took my eye off it because everything else has been full flow food-wise, eating-wise. Now, it's great for, like, making good money off it, but at the end of the day, you could probably set up a business where, like, anyone could set up a business where the long-term plan is to sell the business. So I've railed myself back in then a little bit. Well, I have to now that I've made that money back to kind of more focus on the Buddy Cup because I want to kind of keep it going franchise-wise, opening up the more. I was inquiring today while I was driving about opening one in Cork. It's one in Charlestown, the pipeline, and I don't want it to lose its mojo. You know, it's great when I'm there and I'm pushing it and I'm pushing up the TikToks because I have a bit of the following, but I want it to kind of run itself. So I have to find that medium between I'm there, I'm giving it an awful lot, and just finding the fine line. It's very hard to find.
You're going to struggle to hand that over.
Oh, 100%.
To someone else.
Yeah.
You're going to struggle. Like, again, it's the trust aspect. Because do you find, because I want to ask you one question that someone said to me, do you find that you, over the past, since you've kind of made it, users, do you have a lot of users hanging off you, or have you had noticed that?
Say that again.
Users, like people using you.
Oh, using me, sorry.
Mooches. Is that what you call it? Mooches are users, okay.
See, people thought I was a moocher for a long time, mooching free food, which I was, but now it's kind of turned that mooching into free food where I've built this audience where now I'm getting paid to eat the food. But some people, chance there was, you get people. They got one last night, it was like a voice note clicked into the voice. What's up, Connor, bro? Ali here, will you share this? No, I don't know you. I don't know you at all. And then he texts back to them and say, look here, my page is my business, it's my main income, here's a rate of how much you do it. It was like, no reply. So I was like, right, don't ask me to like do anything again, like, free.
Tell me, someone, Daryl, who was head of the podcast, lovely Daryl, about his poor brother Robert that died. And he said to me, and we actually had a conversation, but I don't know why we had a conversation about it, but this is where it all started. And it's like, everything you touch turns to gold. Why does everything you touch turn to gold?
Jeez, I wouldn't say that. Why? I suppose on certain things, I give, whatever I do, whether I be eating that sandwich, I'm giving that sandwich the best few bites it's ever going to get. Like, I'd always go above and beyond whatever I do. I always try to look like I'm enthusiastic about it, and I always try with regards to, I know where Daryl was getting because of his business, like I'd always say to him, look, I'm going to do my very best for you, and that's all you can do. So if I give him the very best of what I do, can always have some sort of positive outcome on it, you know?
Is it because... You're coming across to me, right? And we never met until I pulled you in the field. I got Darren to pull you in the pavilions last week. You're coming across to me as a very genuine person. And you think that's what it is that we, and like, and I know others can say different and all in the tattle pages, they can all go and fuck off and say what they have to say. But
fuck tattle life.
In, like, you're coming across to me as, like, so do you think that with everything you do, it's just you putting yourself into it and that's why it's worked for you?
Yeah. Definitely. And people wouldn't see, people can have their, again, doubts about it. But even with regards to the food reviews, when I started them up, it's genuine content. It's stuff that I actually love. And I have had my times where I'd promote this, promote that. And that was genuinely to get the money in. Like, you know, I was making a quick buck. But then look at the quick buck turned into buying a trailer. Then I have a trailer. Then I have a few shops. So, but people give me the stick of saying he'd sell that and he'd sell this. It's kind of turned into an actual life out of it, you know?
Do you think you are a good influence on the younger generation? Because when we were talking today, a young flipulture, can I get a photo? Do you think genuinely that you are a good, what's the word?
Person, like, just person to look up
to. Person to look up to, yeah. Are you a good person, like, for them to look up to?
A little bit. Like, I'd always give people time. See, when that happened the other day, if anyone in the world asked me for a picture, I never say no. Never say no, unless like I'm talking to Conor McGregor or something like that, or watching Drake like play in front of me, I'd say piss off here and leave me alone. But I'd always give people time, and I'd always, even when we're driving and we see someone, I'd always lower down the radio and say, how's things or something like that. Even they're just looking over at the car and they might not even know me, but I'm always kind of just friendly about that regard. But then you'd have your cons then, whereas I didn't do well in school, and then people say they want to kind of follow in my footsteps. I don't think it's really... not following in my footsteps. I think it's just better to kind of just go to school, do well in school, and get a degree first before you kind of just want to be something like that I am without having any sort of skill background. So I think it's easier to fall back on. So people text me saying, like, oh, how do you become an influencer, this and that? I'd say, look, just be out there and do what you like to do for, like, but don't follow me too much, you know. There's a lot of that, you know, don't know in the background of where I let myself down, let my family down. So don't know. I'd like to think so anyway. People say to me, like, setting up my own business was a huge credit to myself. It's something that I never knew I would do. Even buying the van, I bought myself a van. It's actually Chris's van now, one of the Buddy Club staff members, which I never thought I'd have. Huge moment. Buy my mom the car. Never in a lifetime would I ever think that I'd do that. I'd probably never do it again. So looking up to that regard, I love to give back. Love to donate. Always donating. And I always like to treat people around me nicely, you know. So yeah.
You said there, again, I'm going to just push you a little bit on it. You said there about letting things down, but other than the towel, other than the toothpaste, like, how have you really, because do you think about that? Do you think that you've let your mum and dad down over the years, or let, obviously you have let Ellie down over the years, but do you think you've let them down?
No, not really, but I'm lucky that I haven't. Yeah. Very lucky from the way it's kind of unfolded a little bit to just have grown a platform. Like, if Instagram and TikTok went tomorrow, like, I'd be kind of fucked, like, really. I'd have to go back to school, and I'd have to go down a different avenue. Like, I would definitely be marketing-wise. But no, the only thing that I think that I've let them down in is skill, and then obviously making my mistakes along the way with relationships and stuff that they kind of found out about that, and then hearing that they've never did this and they've never did that, and we don't do it that way here, and who do you think you are? But not too much.
Were they disappointed overall?
Absolutely, yeah. They loved her to bits, yeah. Loved her to bits. They're still in contact all the time. But look, I don't want to dwell on it too much. Like, the mistakes happened. I did what I did. Other people can dwell on it as long as they want, but my life goes on again at the end of the day, you know. Whatever happens, happens. If it's meant to be, it'll fall back into place somewhere or another. I don't know what exactly I need to do and change, and I'll do that over time.
You're so young. You're too young. Like,
I know. We're too young. And then my mum and dad's like, you should be having a family age. Stop it, please don't,
because you're so young, and like, what you've achieved so far, like, God, if I could do it all again, Paul Kelly, you'd still be in my life, of course, but like, I don't think I'd be in Paul's life. He'd actually be over in Canada. Paul lived in Canada for years. He did a sulky, you know, the horse racing.
Yeah,
Paul lived over there, so he came home from Canada one night, and
the jockey fella.
Yeah, he was a jockey.
He was a jockey.
Yeah, on sulkies. Yeah, he was a jockey on the sulkies. Came home for Christmas to see his ma and met me in Jets, and that was it. His life was over. He never went back.
You wrapped him in, did you?
Yeah. That, I think I'm Paul's biggest regret, actually. So tell me then about where you're going. What, before I let you go, because I know I've had you for a while, and thank you for being
flying in. Yeah, I'm loving it. Thanks again for having me, by the way. I really appreciate
and,
it.
Do you know, and the thing is about it that, like, as I said to Daryl, I said, I'd love to get him on, and he said, I'll message you, and he did, and you straight away, and he sent me that. He sent me the little screenshot saying, yeah, no, but I'll do it. And then I met him, and I seen you, and I was like, I want to try and grab him, because a lot of people will say they'll do it.
Yeah.
And then they don't.
Yeah. Well, I've got asked, even when I put up that, I put up my stories later, earlier on that I did a podcast. I've had 3 podcast places ask me to do it.
Yeah.
And I can't, you can't do a podcast every week, so I won't be doing them. It saturates it, you know, and I can't be telling the same story over and over again. So I'm just going to give a little people update. I'll probably do it again in about 6-7 months. There's no point talking shy.
Yeah.
Because it won't be good. It won't be having a bit of like a hype about it, you know, or some sort of something good to listen to. What?
You come back and try the driving range.
I will be back, actually. I might not stay in here tonight.
It's not arriving until tomorrow. You can heck off. But yeah, where do you want to take your business? Where do you see yourself? Stupid question time, but where do you see yourself in 5-10 years time?
5-10 years time, non-business wise, but myself wise, I want to have a house. I want to have a Range Rover. I want to be in a relationship, a stable relationship with the best version of myself.
Yeah.
Business wise, I want to have another 5 or 6 buddy cups. But in the 5 years from now, I'd love to kind of be looking at the possibility of someone coming in and buying me out.
Okay.
That's the long-term goal. That was the goal from the start. Although in saying that, I'd kind of like go down the approach where McGregor is right now with Proper 12, selling it but still being involved to still market it. My stomach's doing backflips here now after all the coffee.
That's okay. Yeah. Have a sandwich.
But that's the kind of approach that I'd like to go down. I've a few business ideas. I'm always thinking, always trying to come up with new ideas. I know there's something in the back of my head somewhere that no one has thought of, and that will come. And it will be a product, it will be something to be sold online, it'll something to be sold from a warehouse where it's shipped out, whether it be some sort of bars, whatever it is, it's going to come to me. So just have to be patient with myself business wise, keep giving 100% to what I have at the moment and see what happens. I suppose I don't want to overdo myself, but keep going.
And finally, who do you look up to? Who influences you?
Darren Main. who do I look up to? I look up to my mum and dad quite a lot, even though we started off saying nearly like that I hate them. I do look up to them. They've had a great life. They've have a great home. They've great everything about them. They've great jobs. They just have had a great life, you know, like they're close to retiring now and they're going to even have a better life now. So I look up to them. Business wise, the likes of Elon Musk, what he's doing, like just creating ideas, just pulling ideas out of everywhere. So they're the type of people that I do look up to. Even just like my mentor Brian Lee from Chopped, like he's so motivating. He motivates me so much being around. Although when I'm around him, I don't get a word in. I hope you listen to this because I never get to say anything. But I'd always leave there pumped, like buzzing. Like I'm going to the gym with him tomorrow morning. I'll mention that I said it in this, so he has to listen. But being around people like that, like he's an entrepreneur of the year. He's been on the Late Late Show. Even to have that opportunity to have his phone number. Like that motivates me, and that's what I look up to. Like he's created Chopped, and he's all over the country. His franchise is all over the country. He's places I went over. I went over on my own for launch day. He opened in the Netherlands, in Amsterdam, and like it's just that type of stuff that really just drives me on. That anything is possible if you just keep at it and put 100% into it.
How did you become friends with him? How did that relationship happen?
He asked me to do work for Chopped. So he first of all gave out to me because of the price, and I said, look, I'll do this price, I'll do it a bit lower for you if you look at the buddy cup and see what you think of it.
Fair play.
So he kind of took me in then. He said, who is this fella? He has a bit about him, a bit of balls, like. He kind of reeled me in then, and I kind of met him, had a business meeting with him, and I straight away said, what's the crack with putting a buddy cup in here? How much coffee do you sell? Started from there, and now we have a location in the Swords Pavilions, we have a location in the ILAC. We're opening one in Charlestown, and I'm on his case big time about Blanchardstown. So that's how it happened, just by putting myself out there. And even since then, I've just been in some mad circumstances where I said to myself, how am I around these people? Like, I'm just from Coolock here, having a bit about me, and yeah, it's just great networking.
Good for you. And on that note, we leave it there.
Thank you so much again for having me. I loved it.
Oh, I loved it too. Thanks, Emil. As I said to you, like, I'd seen you around and I met you 2 years ago, I think. And you did. You looked at me and I just looked at you and I was like, do I know him? And you looked and you said, how are you? And I was getting the kids out of the car and I said, how are you? And I said to my niece, who's that fella? And she said, that's your man off Instagram. And I was like, all right, yeah. And my brother was like, ah, oh, he's a lovely young fella. Like, do you know what I mean? Jesus. Well, fair play, Connor, and thanks.
No, appreciate it.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.